We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to the program that, like psychedelic toilet paper, brings the colour back to people's cheeks. And falling repeatedly off the tightrope of good taste will be our own two teams, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And Kimbrook Taylor and Willie Rushton. We're going to play a round now of the familiar and popular game Mornington Crescent, but with a difference. You've all heard of Pro-Am Celebrity Golf, in which amateurs and professionals take part. Well, in this round of Mornington Crescent, we have some members of our audience who are coming up here to play the game with us, and one of them sitting next to me now. How do you do, sir? Your name is?
Fred Heffer.
Fred Heffer. Fred, what do you do for a living?
I'm in the post office.
In the post office?
Yes.
Oh, great. And are you married with three children?
Yes.
Now, I think we're just about ready to play the game. You know the rules. And you will alternate with each member of our panel. And we're going to start with Graham Garden, because he's got a kind face.
Right. Where does...
There's no special rules, incidentally, as we're playing with, people
with
who are
an
maybe
attack.
Not quite as familiar with the
can
game.
Can we play it slightly slowly to give Fred a chance to get into the game?
Right, can we start, team?
Okay. Has Fred put his tenor in? okay, an easy one. Euston Square.
Oh, it's my turn. Brick Lane.
Oh, Mornington good. Crescent, you see.
Yeah, straight into it.
I'm afraid it is Mornington.
Yeah, I know, but you could.
Yeah, you could
okay, sorry.
You
could
first go.
It's his first go.
I think that's a little bit hard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry,
a little
Regent
boo there
Street.
Wouldn't go amiss. Brooke Taylor there.
Boom. Regent
not,
Street.
Not gentlemanly.
Regent
condom.
Street, Tim said.
Edgware Road.
Oh, well, very good.
You've played it before.
Uxbridge Road.
That was Uxbridge Road.
Mornington Crescent.
Oh! Yes!
That is very good. Fred Heffer, ladies and gentlemen, making mincemeat of our team. Very good. Well, Fred,
yes.
If you give way to our next contestant, we'll try again.
There.
Well, we go. You lose concentration in a game like
I'm
this.
I'm sure the BBC will send you something through the post.
But please
and
put
we have
it in
another
a bucket of water.
Contestant to take part in the game here. Your name is?
Jim Cleary.
Jim Cleary. And what do you do for a living?
I'm a headmaster.
Headmaster?
Yes.
Oh, well.
He gathered that when they all cheered when he came
would
up.
You'd like to take over this chair.
He's got his mob here with him.
Jim, you alternate with the teams. We're good teams. We go around in the usual order.
All right.
And I think we'll start now with Willie Rushton.
Mount Pleasant.
Cromwell Road.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
You could let one go, for heaven's sake.
Oh, come on.
It's not that strong.
Oh, well, yeah, all right.
Well, all
if
right.
We're playing
come
like
on,
that.
It's
a guess.
All right.
Yeah, a guess.
What was it? Cromwell Road.
Oh.
That's got you there.
Tottenham Court Road.
Oh, the old one.
All right, old Tottenham
if in
Court
doubt.
Road.
Houston
if in
Road.
Doubt. Houston Road.
Houston
ah.
Road.
Like it.
Regent Street.
Mornington Crescent.
No.
I'm sorry, Jim. No. I'm afraid that disqualifies you.
Enough.
He knows. Very well played, I reckon.
We've tried
quite
to give
a
clear infringement.
Yeah. He knows what he did. He knows. Very good.
And the BBC will be expecting something from you for the phone.
Yeah,
I think Graham unsettled
there. He knows where he went wrong.
I think Graham
bad
unsettled
luck, Jim.
Him.
So that's one each.
Come on.
We're going to play Call My Bluff, the game familiar to all of you who watch television. And it's played here with a slight difference. The teams are going to give me four different definitions of a word, and I have to guess which one is correct. They'll then tell me whether it's true or a bluff. Very exciting. Now, the word, teams, I want you to define is hollyhocks. Hollyhocks. Barry Cryer, will you give me your definition?
Hollyhocks it has a very ancient derivation. It's to do with Christmas, to do with Christmas. People taken a bit short at Christmas financially. Were wont to hire themselves their local pawnbrokers, pausing only in the snow-clad street to remark on the singular occurrence that his sign had fallen down They would rush inside. They would rush inside and pawn something to get the money together for Christmas. This was a regular procedure. This was known as a hollyhock. Hollyhock. And hollyhocks were what you indulged in at Christmas to get the readies together.
Right. Barry, that's your one now. Willie Rushton, how about yours?
Holy hoax, in fact, these originated in the changing rooms at Vatican City, relegated again this year. a holy hoax, as the name suggests, is a prank or trick perpetrated on a pope, like pulling the throne out from under him as he sits down for vestry, or shouting out, "How's the missus then?" It's an anti-pope joke, a holy hoax.
Okay, well now, Graham, how about yours?
Those of you who ride will be familiar with the phrase, "I put Black Ned over the hollyhocks." Hollyhocks. A hollyhock, or normally plural hollyhocks, are a sort of traditional fence used to train jumpers, horses that jump. And the top bar of the fence has sprigs of holly nailed to it, which will prick the hocks of the horses as they leap over to make them pick their feet up and jump higher and stop them knocking the top bar of the fence off. These are hollyhocks in the riding fraternity. There was a case recently, you may have read in the paper, where a show jumper nailed hedgehogs instead of holly to the top bar of the fence. It didn't make the horses jump any higher, but they had the fastest ducking hedgehogs in the land.
Hollyhogs.
Hollyhogs, they were.
Yes,
then. Thank you, Graham. That leaves you, Tim, for your definition.
It's hollyhocks. Scandinavian. Hollyhocks.
Not a bit like Leslie Ann Dan.
Not in this light.
I joined it once. It was the Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous in Norway this summer. I met some people who had joined. I didn't join. This is just to bring them into it. And all the people who are alcoholics, which is a serious complaint at home, and I do understand that, and I'm not making fun of it in any way. But in Norway, it is made fun of, and that's why I'm bringing it into the program. And Hollyhocks. Alcoholics. Alcoholics.
Right, thank you, Tim.
Bad taste there, Tim.
Bad taste. From Barry, we have an object pawned at Christmas. From Willie Rushton, a sort of papal prank. From Graham Gardens, some rather unpleasant goings-on with horses. And from Tim, that rigmarole you just heard about alcoholics. An object pawned at Christmas. I thought that Barry faltered a bit in the middle of his definition there. People were wont to do something. I mean, either they were or they weren't. So I object to that one. I'm turning that one down. Papal prank, I'd like to think about a bit more. Maybe after the program. and Graham's the horses. I've heard of the hedgehog stunt.
Yes.
Yes. But with holly. And Tim's definition, I'm going to reject that, because if I accept his one, it means I've got to do an impression of Robert Robinson. Which is...
You haven't the hair for it. You've got the nose for it, but not the hair for it.
No, I'm going to plump for Willie. Willie Rushton, the papal prank.
Sure, we have that.
Is it a bluff or true?
Show us the card.
Show us the card.
Well, my goodness.
Who'd have known?
Well, I lose that one, and you win that, naturally. Now, we go on to the point where I tell you that at the end of the game, I'm going to ask you to introduce the late arrivals to the advertiser's ball. Late arrivals to the advertiser's ball. You will start thinking about that. Meanwhile, the rest of us will go on playing a game called Sound Charades. This is the one where one team makes noises and the other team has to guess what they mean. It'll be like a book or a film or a play or a mixture of all three. The audience are let into the secret by means of this machine we have on the left here. Since this program hasn't yet lurched into the microchip era, the answer will be flashed up with a bit of chalk on the blackboard. And a mystery voice, who will remain a mystery, no doubt to his intense relief, will tell you at home what the charade is. And the first charade is going to be enacted by Tim and Willie. And this is what it is.
Death in Venice.
Tim and Willie, the audience have been told at home, will you tell Graham and Barry whether it's a film or a book or whatever?
It's a book, a film, and actually recently an opera, I think, yes. Three words. I would concentrate perhaps on the film, as you're ignorant people.
Don't try and butter words. Us up.
Three words, Brillo, and we're going to do them all at once. Okay?
Ar cornetto.
Splosh!
Well, the audience got that at once, probably because they read it off the blackboard. But
more recently, an opera. Mm.
Yes.
Three words.
I'd like to also enter that for the advertiser's bull.
Yes. Nothing to do with Michael Tippett, the icebreaker, but that was never a book and a film. Oh. So I mean,
did he do the cornetto break?
He didn't do. Oh. No, he didn't do the cornetto break, or indeed the ice cornetto.
But there'll be a crate of those for us in the morning.
I hope so, yes. As sure as my name's Rolls Royce. Now, it's one of the words an article, definite
actually,
or indefinite.
Actually, that's very close, it isn't.
It's not there.
The isn't there at all, no.
There's
a preposition in there. If you want to be
preposition in
the headmaster there. Will enjoy that. Preposition.
On, Jim. On, in, up.
Sorry, you said in.
Don't in.
Look, no. Did you say in?
Yes.
In. Yeah, that's right.
In,
Yeah, round of applause thing for getting in.
Something in canal.
Would you like us to do it again?
No.
Well, I'd rather die first.
really?
I got it. Death in Venice.
Right, that's right. 3 marks for perseverance. Audience listening at home, you might like to encourage the teams by applauding when you think they're getting near to it. Graham and Barry, you have a charade now. It's going up on our board in the studio, and here's the mystery voice to tell you at home what it is.
Staircase.
Play in a film.
We won't tell you how many words.
We refuse to tell you how many words it is.
It would make it too
easy.
It'd
be too easy. It'd be a walkover, really.
A walkover?
Walkover, yes. Right.
God.
Three.
Oh, dear.
Four. Oh,
five.
What a lot of steps. Look, there's a lot of steps here, isn't there?
Oh, dear.
Oh,
Step City, this squire.
Oh, must be hundreds. No, it's not hundreds.
Time passes.
Yeah. 27, 28, oh, must be hundreds of steps here.
29, oh.
Well, 50 at least. Oh, no, less than 50. Less than 40, I'd say.
Oh, there's one on this landing. No, well, I'll wait for the next. Oh, dear.
Oh, these steps. Oh, 37,
could you hit that 38, harder, I think.
Oh, we're there.
We're there at last.
Oh, we got to the top.
Tim and Willie have fallen asleep. Right. Give it a rap.
If it's not 39 steps, which it's not, then it must be staircase.
Oh,
very good.
Well, sorry, it is.
I'll have to dock you a mark or two for not getting 39 steps. So that makes level pegging. And now, Tim and Willie, you're going to do another one now. And this one goes up on the board. Here, through the mystery voice, is what it is for you listening at home.
Greece.
It's one word. It's a musical and a filmed musical. Here we go. One word. All at once.
Pa-ching! 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 Pa-ching!
Pa-ching! Pa-ching!
The sound of pa-ching. One word.
Bazooki.
Where do you hear a bazooki play?
It sounds like Greece.
Fine. That's another mark to Graham and Barry.
Okay.
And Graham and Barry, you're going to do another charade right now. Up it goes on the board. If you're listening at home, here it is.
The Lady Vanishes.
The mystery voice, by the way, listeners, is Norman St. John X. this was a book,
What happened?
Was it really?
Yes, it was a book.
Oh, I didn't
yes,
know that.
Yes.
Became a film.
And then a blackboard.
Wash. And then a blackboard, yes. Yes, that's right.
Three little words.
Three little words.
Oh, but they can mean so much.
Right,
they?
We're starting now. Going to do it all at once, actually.
Picture the scene.
Picture the scene. Excuse me, Lady Pun.
Yes, Mr. Wordplay.
Hate to ask a person such as yourself to do this, but our daily Mrs. Belter is in the laboratory washing out the retorts. And I wondered, as we've got the good-natured banters coming round for dinner...
Yes, with her charming daughter, Witty Sally.
Indeed. And her fiancé, the Dutch diamond dealer, Sparkling Rip Ost. I wondered if you could see your way clear to polyurethane the dining table.
Oh, point me at it.
There isn't a book or film called The Clever Dicks, is
there? Well, I hope they get sent a lot of polyurethane.
I honestly don't know that. The lady was that was planted. Is that anything to do with lady? No. Yes.
Only insofar as it's relevant.
Lady from the...
The lady varnishes.
Still haven't got it yet.
Absolutely brilliant, Willie, for winning that one. And you get all the marks that are available for that round and one or two left over from previous rounds. We're going to play a round now, which is rather wittily entitled Playing Tunes on Instruments You Can't Play.
How do we do this one?
There's a clue there somewhere.
In other words, one team will play a well-known tune on the Swanee whistle and percussion, and the others will have to try and identify it. And we're going to start now with Tim and Willie, as they won that last round so brilliantly. Tim is going to play the Swanee whistle, and Willie Rushton is going to play...
Isn't.
Oh, whatever's left over, Willie's going to play now. Will you begin, please, Tim and Willie?
One more time.
No.
On second thoughts, no.
Green Mersey.
Graham and Barry, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to identify that.
The Blue Danube.
And if does our audience agree, that's the point.
This is the ducks that gave away.
That entitles you to have a go now. Who's going to play what? Let me just have a look and see.
I'm percussing, actually.
You're percussing
and
he's whistling.
I am ready.
Right, will you start your tune now? Have you started tuning up?
Just tuning up.
Yeah.
Percuss it amongst yourselves.
Thank you, Colin. Right, here we go. Humsell's hits.
Well, an Irish band leader, Edmund O. Ross.
Tim and Willie, you have a time limit too.
That is orange, blossom, pink and...
Nowhere near it. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Think of Oh My and Papa.
Otherwise you don't get any marks at all.
Think of Oh My and Papa?
Yes.
Mr. Cryer Sr. The name of the tune.
It's fair to say that Willie Rushton was... fairly close.
Yeah. Orange, blossom, pink and something else, mambo.
No, you're never going to get it.
Mambo the golden crumpet.
You're never going to get it, I'm sorry. It's cherry blossom pink.
Thank you.
Cherry blossom.
Thank you.
I recognised it at once.
And I hope you get a lot of shoe polish in the morning.
Now we go on to a musical round. And in this one...
now for something entirely
This is the one we call blues. One team gives the other one a topic for a blues... and the other team then improvises a blues on the spur of the moment, accompanied by Colin Sell. Tim and Willie, you're going to do the first one, so I'm going to ask Graham and Garden to give you a subject.
Graham and Garden?
Graham and Garden.
Mornington Chris.
And that lot.
Not to be confused with Home and Cryer.
Graham or Barry, would you give them a...
Well, we had a little mull earlier.
I thought of ITV.
Aye, and I thought of ITV 2. So we thought of the ITV 2 blues. He's just fallen off the keyboard.
I woke up this morning. I turned on the new cultural ITV 2.
Oh, yeah?
I heard the announcer announcing as I sat down on salute.
The next program's going to be Ingmar Bergman's Crossroads.
Then there's Jean-Luc Godard's Coronation Rouge.
Oh, yeah.
Well, judging from that applause, we'll give you, what, 6 marks? Right. Now, Graham and Barry, it's your turn to sing a blues. And Tim and Willie, can you give them a subject, please?
As I see it, the optician's blues.
Nods as good as a wink.
That's done.
Hope we get better soon, Colin.
Woke up this morning in a state of extreme perturbation. Extreme perturbation.
Thank you for that rhyme, Larry, baby.
I heard my mother-in-law was coming to stay, and she's easily my least favorite relation. Yes, you.
Of them all, give them the choice.
Yeah.
She's got one glass eye, you can tell which one it is. It's the one with a spark of humanity in it. I didn't know she had a glass eye.
Till one day it came out in the course of the conversation.
Thank you, Graham, Terry and Barry McGee. That was well done. And you got, according to the audience, you only got 4. So blame them, not me.
How can they see?
Right now, teams, that leads us on with the score finally poised.
Oh, great.
To the point where I ask the teams to give their late arrivals for the advertiser's ball. Anybody can start.
Oh, there's an early arrival here. The Phillips family. The Phillips, simply years ahead.
Oh.
And I hope there'll be a crate for me in the morning. Sorry.
Would you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Bianco and their little mother, Martini Bianco.
Oh, a friend of Dennis King's here, Miss Dean, who has just done the whole of Hamlet in 3.5 minutes. Nothing acts faster than Anna Dean.
Ah, memories. All the way from Sweden, Mr. and Mrs. The opportunity to cash in on this wonderful offer. And their son, Lars, the opportunity to cash on.
Oh, there's a great group to entertain you. Sir Robert Mark and the Retreads.
And there are Mr. and Mrs. Tucky Fried Chicken and their son, Ken. And two of his mates, Camp Harry and Murray Mince.
Here come the With the Woolwiches, with their son, Noah M. With the Woolwich.
Oh, dear. Bill Stickers is being taken out for stealing the silver. Yes, I'm afraid Bill Stickers will be prosecuted.
There's Mr. and Mrs. Changing Mart.
Their son, Xavier, known to us all as ex-Changing Mart.
Not to mention, and I shouldn't, Mr. and Mrs. Lautomatic and their son, Percy Lautomatic. Over there, a touch of class, the Disdains family... And their daughter, Anne. Of course, that's the Anne Disdains we don't talk about.
Oh, look, there's Ma Goodness and Ma Guinness, the stout couple. Naval friend, the well-known Sailor Goods Act.
If it helps you at all, teams, Barry and Graham are almost out of sight as far as the score's concerned.
Ahead, or...
No, just one side.
I've
no idea, but you're almost out of sight.
Ah, it's Mr. and Mrs. of your Woolworth store today, and their daughter Wanda. That's the wonder of your Woolworth store.
Yes, small edge.
Can you say that again?
Yes, small edge. Yeah, small edge, don't you? Small edge. Small edge in the end of newspapers among the classifieds.
Mr. and Mrs. Unhousewives every day, and their daughter Amelia Unhousewives every day. pick up a can of beans and say, beans means fine. Tear off their knickers and shout hooray.
Oh, well.
This is where I leap in to say that we've pretty well come to the end of the programme. We'll be with you again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.